Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have all the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
We seem to be fascinated by courts, most especially by the process of determining right and wrong and judging people. All you have to do is look at the TV offerings of Judge Judy, People's Court, Court TV, The Good Wife, Law and Order. And for those of you that had to get out of your seat to change channels, Perry Mason. But we do seem to be fascinated by that. I mean, if I'm watching any of those shows, midway through the show, I've already judged and sentenced the perpetrator. It's kind of the same when we meet people for the first time. We're already evaluating and judging that person. First impressions often involve making a judgment about a person. It just appears to be a part of our human nature. Or is it? Additionally, there is a virtue that's lacking in our world, that of patience. We live in a society that demands immediate gratification. Do I take the time to fix a dinner or use a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant? We first actually had to go to a movie theater to watch a movie. Then we were able to go and rent a VCR or a DVD, But now we don't even have to get up from the couch. We can actually click and have a movie on demand. And to combine these two ideas together, we desire swift justice. As I mentioned before, we tend to judge and sentence. So, are impatience and wanting to judge others natural? Another way of asking it, is this how God intended us to live? You know, when the householder realized that the weeds were sown in his field, he did not react immediately. He patiently waited for the harvest before separating the weeds and the wheat. God's leniency is demonstrated by waiting for the harvest before removing the weeds. Just as the householder did not want to risk any of the wheat, in the same manner, God does not want to lose any of his children. Remember how Jesus tells us of the rejoicing in heaven for just one repentant sinner. But it's too simplistic to just look at that parable and think that there are good people and there are bad people. Because after all, if we are made in the image of God, then there is wheat in all of us alongside the weeds. Even in the most evil of person, there still is something good alongside the evil. Conversely, we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of God's expectations. Each and every time we do so, we call that sin. And that is the weeds inside of us. And so, as I already mentioned, God created us all in his image and likeness. All creation, including the human family, is good. But our lives in this world are a continual struggle to nurture the good in us, but also to weed out the bad. And that is one of the reasons for God's patience. The virtue of patience, as well as all the virtues, are perfect in God. And he is patient with us, because he wants to give us time to draw closer to him. He wants to give us time to nurture the wheat and the good inside of us and to weed out the bad. Now, Jesus' parable also tells us about our attempts at judging others. After all, judgment is God's alone, for only God is the master of all things. Thus, he can judge all. We even heard that in our first reading today. And this is a theme that Jesus brings up time and time again in his ministry. Who can forget that famous scene in the Gospels? The Pharisees bring a woman who was caught in the act of the adultery and tells Jesus, the Mosaic law says we need to stone her. They already have the stones in their hand. But also wanting to see the test of Jesus to see if he'll pass. Jesus stoops down, starts drawing in the dirt. And eventually he looks up at them and says, the one who is without sin, throw the first stone. One by one, the stones are dropped to the ground, and they all wander off, leaving the woman with Jesus. He offered that woman God's mercy and compassion. Another example, of course, and probably the best example, is while Jesus was hanging on the cross, just moments before he died, he, after all, was the Son of God. He, after all, could have damned every person that was responsible for his crucifixion. But that's not what he did. Instead, he looked up to his heavenly Father and pleaded for them, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Even in the midst of his pain and suffering of the crucifixion, even moments before he breathed his last, he was still asking for mercy. He was still pleading to his heavenly Father for them. That is how merciful he is with all of us. He now asks us to do likewise. Whenever I think of a person I'm struggling with to forgive, I think of that moment on the cross. If Jesus could forgive them, the ones who falsely accused him, the ones who condemned him, the ones who beat him, the ones who hammered nails into his hands and his feet, the ones who thrust the lance in his side, if he could forgive them, then surely I can forgive someone who has hurt me. In this sacrament of the Eucharist, we encounter that same Lord, that same person who was on that cross pleading for his Father for mercy for his executioners. We encounter Jesus, the one who willingly gave up his life so we could experience God's mercy. We also experience the patient work of the Holy Spirit, who, since our baptism, resides in our hearts, continuing that work of assisting us in weeding out the weeds and making our hearts more selfless and generous like Jesus' heart. Our God is patient with us. Our God is loving of us. And our God is merciful of us. Let us allow ourselves to be transformed into sons and daughters of the living God. For after all, that is who God created us to be.